If you are anywhere near breathing tonight, you know and I know that God is up to something. I'm going to try to share with you just a very simple, some simple thoughts this evening out of my own heart and out of what I believe that the Lord has spoken to myself. And sometimes I find myself being so sporadic and busy that I don't always get to spend as much time preparing as I would like to at certain times, and it just happens like that. Days are different. But yet I still believe in everything within me that this is what I'm supposed to talk about this evening. Israel is one of those studies, the book of the Old Testament. And Israel went through cycles in their life just like we do. There was times in Israel's life that it seemed to be that they were on top of the mountain. There were other times in Israel's life that they were very distant and very far away from God. There was even times when the psalmist would pray, "Come near to me, O God." There was a plea, there was a cry of desperation because the absence of God was evident. Now again, it may not be everybody in the room, and it may not be necessarily everybody here at Thomasville. But again, this is me preaching what I feel like God put on my heart. For a very long time, there seems to have been an absence of God in America. And the reason I say that is because the founding fathers and the foundation of America, and I don't care who says it's not, and you can talk to Robert back there and Robert will tell you. But the very cornerstone of America when America was established was that they put their faith and their trust in the God of the Bible. They built the foundation upon Jehovah. They built the foundation upon the Word of God. The Bible said that the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. That's another message for another time. But this evening, and again, I believe I'm on target, and I believe I feel like where I'm at this evening with the church. And I hope that when I share these few verses of Scripture this evening, that again, from Sunday to today, that something has continued to stir in your heart. I want you to stretch your hand this way and pray for me before I even read what I want to read to you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I can't do this without you. I don't want to do it without you. Lord, I'd be ashamed and embarrassed to even try to do this without you. But Father, with you, you said in your word, oh God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that even now that you would take these words this evening and this attempt this evening to share the word of God. And Lord, that you would use it for the glory of God and for you, Father. Lord, I pray, God, even tonight that once again, God, there's a hunger sparked in every heart. There's a hunger sparked in every life. And God, help us to be found faithful in all that we endeavor to do. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. And we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There's a thought that I want to leave with you. It's just a nugget. It's a seed thought. Something that's going to, I hope, get into the recesses of your heart. It's just a simple statement. Seek God. I believe as we begin to look at the Scripture that there's many times all throughout the Scripture where there was admonishments that the people would seek Him. When I began to think about this message this evening and what I would be able to preach and to be able to share with you, my mind went to Isaiah 55. And it opens up like this in verse number 1, and it says, "Ho," we don't use that word much. That's sort of like us saying, sort of like this, "Hey!" It's sort of like the same expression, sort of like, get your attention. It would be like somebody going, hello. It would be like somebody getting your attention. This is what God is saying to Israel. Again, Israel, Judah, they had been separated from God, and they had, according to Isaiah chapter number 1, the Bible says that we all like sheep have gone astray. It's amazing to me because God, and you'll see this over and over, not only in the New Testament, but you see this in the Old Testament as well. You see, one of the most important things about God, or one of the greatest things about God, is that God will not leave you where he finds you. But God is always searching for man. Have you ever noticed that? God is always searching for man. And we see this here in Isaiah 55 because he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And there's this great invitation, and he tells us to come to the waters. Water oftentimes is associated with the Spirit of God. Come to the Spirit. Come to the Holy Ghost. Come to the Spirit of God. He says, he that hath no money. That's amazing because everything we do today seems to be encircled around money. Amen? And we see this, and he says here, he says, he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2 through 6, we're going to read them really, really quick. And this is where he picks up in verse number 2. It says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And that labor for that which satisfieth not. Look what he says here, this next verse. He says, hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Verse 3 says it like this. Incline your ear and come unto me. I love that, don't you? Incline your ear. Again, that is God telling the people of God, telling the people, incline your ear. What does that remind us of? That reminds us simply of this. It reminds us of where the Scripture has said, and Jesus even said many times, even in the book of Revelation, I said it Sunday, to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Brother Russell, I know that you will agree with me because there is a drawing in America. There is a drawing right now. There is a wooing. We don't see that word very much, but there is a wooing. There is a drawing. Has anybody in the room felt a wooing or a drawing? You felt like God has just got a hold of your heart and God's pulling you close. And this is what he's saying in the Scripture, and he's telling Isaiah to tell them this. He says, incline your ear. And then he says, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Look in verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, the Gentiles, because of the Lord thy God and the Holy One of Israel. He hath glorified thee. Verse 6, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Again, I don't know how everybody in this room, matter of fact, I don't know how anybody in this room feels but me. But if there's ever been a time and a day and an hour that we've prayed for as the church, again, I'm a revivalist. I feel revival in my soul every day. It's just something that I just live for it. It burns in my heart, not just as a pastor, but to see the light bulb go off and see somebody get a hold of it. But when we see these scriptures like this, it is a reminder, seek the Lord while he may be found. Now, many of you know prophecy a lot better than me. But right now is a golden opportunity. Right now we are at the opportunity of revival. And you say, is revival big crowds? Is revival all-night prayer meetings? No, revival is when there is a spiritual awakening in your soul and a spiritual awakening in your spirit. You may not ever have the crowds. You may not have the all-night prayer meeting. I'm not worried about that. But I am saying this. That God wants to ignite a spark in your life. That God wants to do something in your life. I believe that with everything within me. That God wants to show himself brand new to you. And he wants to do something in your life, even right now. We see this again because he uses this word, seek the Lord while he may be found. And again, you'd have to go talk to Terry about this and get more involved in prophecy in the days that are ahead. The Bible uses the term a dark and a gloomy day, and it talks about the judgment of God that's going to fall upon America at some point during the Great Tribulation. But right now, I believe with everything within me, Robert, I believe this is a window. With everything that's going on in America right now, I believe there is a window. And again, I talked about this on Sunday morning. Shall I believe we're sitting on the edge of the rapture of the church? I believe that. And God said he would do this. But everybody's not heeding. And that's the thing that I'm concerned about. As you can preach, and I thought the other day, I told somebody, I said, that guy Noah preached for a long time, 100 years, and only 8 people got on the boat. You know what I mean? I know there's more than 8 people saved in this room. Come on, somebody. So a lot of people are listening to young people. That's a whole subject that we could talk about for another time. But let me ask you this as we move forward this evening, because the first thing I begin to look at is where he begins to say this in the Word. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What does that mean? I know what it means to me. It means that it is an invitation to come into his presence. I don't go to a lot of people's houses, and typically I normally never go to nobody's house without a personal invitation. Me showing up at your house without an invitation is 99.99999.999999. That it'll never happen. But if you say, Pastor, can you come over Tuesday? I may have an orange crush for you or a bologna sandwich. What time you want me to be there? And you say, well, if you know. But the point is, it's an invitation. And in this, God was telling Israel, seek the Lord while he may be found. It's like in my own mind and in my heart, it's like God is saying, come over here. Come over here and let's sit down a while. Let's have a conversation. We see that in Isaiah chapter number 1. Come now, let us reason together. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as wool. So by the reason I say this is because there's an invitation that has been given. Why is the invitation being given? God does not want us to die in our sins. Hello? He says in the Bible says this over in the book of Romans, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you say, well, I'm saved. I've been saved for 23 and a half years. Just because you've been saved 23 and a half years, don't get mad at the preacher. You've not reached a pinnacle. You've not reached that place in your life that God don't want to still touch your life. And I'll admit, there's more of God that I want. There's more that God wants to do in my life. But if you and I, even as a church, you say, Pastor, you push us too hard, or you say these things that don't make sense to me. What I'm just simply saying is this, that I believe that we can have a Holy Ghost outpouring in the church that will lead us to a greater harvest, and we can see people saved like we've never seen saved before. Now, don't get mad at me. But as long as we sit soaking sour, and as long as we just come in, slip in, slump over, slide out, I'm telling you, we'll never get any further than we are right now. But I believe this with everything within me, that there is a remnant of people. There is a remnant of people in this church that God is not only starting to deal with, but he's been dealing with them. And Brother West, I believe he's going to deal with them in the future. And they're going to be those that stand with hands open wide. And they're saying, God, more of you. God, I want more of you. Lord, just fill me with your power. Fill me with your spirit. Oh, God, I need your touch again. And I know the Bible says in the Word that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God is saying to Israel, when you look at this, to seek ye the Lord while he can be found. Secondly, God desires to be close to you. Hello? And there's a picture in my mind, and this whole thing is you and I, watch this. want to use the word religion, but our relationship with God. It's like when Elijah was there with the prophets of Baal and they were cutting themselves and they were doing all the damage to their bodies, and he went and he asked them, said, "Where's your God at? Is he on vacation? Has he taken a journey?" And they cried and they wept and they cut themselves, and Elijah looked at them and said, "What's going on here?" And I think sometimes that in our mind, we think that we've got to do all of these spiritual exercises, if I can use that word, trying to get God to hear us. In all reality, all we've got to do is get after Him and seek Him. God just wants to see your heart, and God wants to know that you've got a heart after Him. The point here is simply this, that God desires to be close to us. It's an amazing thing with me that God has always desired to be close to His creation. All these other religions of the world is always the people trying to get to their God. You know what I'm saying? It's the people always trying to get to their God. But in Christianity, watch this, it's God always trying to reach to His people. It's always God trying to reach the people. And the Bible does say that all we like sheep have gone astray. You know the scripture better than me. He left the 99 in the fold and he went looking for that one. He gives an example of that. There's the lost sheep. There's the lost coin, if you will. And the woman, she swept the house and looked all over the house, couldn't find it. Called her friends. Finally, she found the coin. Called all of her friends and rejoiced. That which was lost has now been found. Even with the prodigal, that prodigal son, and I got one, but they never did quit looking for their son, did he? And when the son came home, he rejoiced. And this is the word he says, that which was lost is now found. If you go back in the first part of that in the book of Matthew where he says that and he talks about it, when he talks about the lost sheep, he said, go call your friends. Go call all your neighbors about the lost son. But anyway, when he talks about the lost sheep, he says that it's like a sinner that will come home, that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that will come home. I don't know how that makes you feel tonight, but it makes me want to shout hallelujah over one sinner. Think about that. All eternity will shout. All the angels of glory will shout. That's how important you are to God. That's how important people are to God. I want to tell you something. We as a church, again, myself as a pastor, I preach through pastor's eyes. We even have a gym that's got a bunch of young people over there tonight. They're not just a young person. They're a soul that's going to spend somewhere in eternity. They're going to spend somewhere in eternity. And if we will adapt that mindset, That it's a soul that's going to spend somewhere in eternity, we will learn to love people a whole lot easier. Come on, somebody. Now here we go again. We see that God has a desire to be close to you. I want you to understand that before I leave here tonight. When he began to write this, when Isaiah began to write this, he began to give that invitation and he began to say that in verse number 6. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Why is that? Let me say it like I feel it. God, I don't mean that God is not complete, because God is complete. He's all efficient. But here's the way I'm going to say it, that I feel it, is God's not complete without you. Does that make sense? God's not complete without you. I'll pick on Michelle. She's looking straight at me. God's not complete without a Michelle. God's not complete without a Sister Betty. Oh, and God's not complete without a Sister West. God wants you to be a part of His family. God wants you to come into His family. And you think to yourself, well, can you show me a few examples about this from the Scripture? Well, sure I can. The first thing that ever happened in the book of Genesis in the very beginning is when God was there and God created everything that God created. But God done one more thing. What did God do? He formed man out of the dust of the earth and he put him in a garden. Made a woman out of the rib. because she needed to be by his side, not his big toe to be under his foot, but the side, to go through life together from the side, side by side. I'll put that in there for the men and the women tonight. But God did something awesome, and this is the thing that I love. I absolutely love this, and I've mentioned this before in preaching. But this is the thing that I absolutely love. God had came down and God had fellowship with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And then something happened. You know what happened. You've read the Bible. The serpent came back to Eve and the serpent beguiled her. And she took that of the tree of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and gave it to her husband. And then they had this conversation with what was going on, and old Adam, he was a little narcissistic, and he began to blame his wife on what he had done. But in all of that, yes, it's always easier to blame somebody else for your own failures, right? Come on, somebody. It's always easier to find somebody else to blame it on. But that's not the point of this particular message that I want to get to tonight, because we see something happens. This is Genesis chapter 3. And this is one of the things in verse number 8. Because they had already sown fig leaves together and they were already there. And they found themselves hiding, if you will. And when they were there, this is what he says in verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard God walking through the garden. How awesome is that? They were there and they were in the bushes somewhere, and all of a sudden there's a realization in the heart of Adam and Eve. God is here. God is here. It would be horrible in the church, in the New Testament church, in the day and the hour that we're living in, for God to be giving you and I an invitation, and God saying, seek the Lord while he may be found. God being in our midst, Brother Cain, and because of whatever we're harboring in our hearts, whatever's going on the inside of us that maybe nobody even knows about, nobody even knows it's going on the inside of you, but you don't want your neighbor to know. You don't want to tell nobody. But whatever it is that's in your heart, whatever it is that's in your life, just a flat plane resistance to the Spirit of God or the anointing of God or the presence of God, whatever it might be, it's that thing that's keeping you from going into the presence of God. When you hear the Holy Spirit say, seek me and he shall be found. We do put up resistance, don't we? Hello? I mean, a good Holy Ghost service and the Spirit of God get to moving. I mean, we all of a sudden we find ourselves stiffened up like a tin soldier. I ain't moving. That preacher ain't moving me today. Move me if you can, preacher. You know, we get all bowed up about stuff. When we ought to go like this. And I'm going to do it. Y'all can't see me, but they might be able to. It's when we need to do this. When we need to say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. We need to lay before God. We need to call out upon him. You say, well, preacher, is it going to take all that? What if it don't? But what if it does? Humble yourself before the Lord. Somebody says, well, I get down, I can't get up. Humble yourself in your heart. Come on, somebody. Come on now. I read that on Sunday. That God is near those that are of a broken spirit, a contrite spirit. Brokenness before him. You know what breaks me today? What breaks me today is an absence of the concern that people have, the lack of the concern that people have for the things of God. And I'm saying, God, give us a hunger. Give us a hunger for you, Lord. Give me a hunger for the things of God. God, give me a hunger for your presence. That's why David prayed in David's prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. David was so, I guess the word I'm looking for is fearful, Brother Russell, of the Holy Spirit leaving him. He cried out and he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And he said in the word, as we look at this, as we see that Adam and Eve, as we look at this, it said, They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. But the first part of that, the first part of that, it said that they were walking in the, he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You know what I get out of that? That God cared so much about his relationship with Adam and Eve, his creation, Shelba, that God came down. And he was looking for them. He was walking in the garden looking for him. In the garden. I come to the garden alone. You know the history of that song. Look up the history of that song. But anyway, we see that Jesus was in the garden. We see that Jesus was in the garden. And Jesus at one time cried and prayed, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Simply because the Bible lets us know, and it don't say it in those terms, but it's when Jesus took upon himself all the sin of the world that the Father could not look upon his dear son Jesus in the capacity of all the sin of the world upon his shoulders. But yet we think about that in a spiritual application that even today that Jesus Christ himself, he took upon him all the weights and all the sins of humanity so that no longer you and I, as Brother Scott mentioned on Sunday, no longer are you and I on the outside, but we've been given an invitation to come into the Holy of Holies, if you will. And we see this again that where that God, you'll notice here, and this is very important today, that God went looking for Adam. God went looking for Adam. God is still looking for man today. Here's the thing, that God was looking for Adam and Eve, and he looked at this, and he says it in the Word of God, and he says this in verse number 9, and he says, and the Lord God called unto Adam, and I feel this in my heart tonight. This is how I feel like that God is doing the world today, and that God is doing America today, that God is looking at the church today. And he says this, and he said unto him, and the Lord God called to Adam, God speaking to Adam, and he said, Adam, where are you? Where are you at? And again, this is what I feel like that God is saying to us as a church. I believe that God is saying this to a world today. Where are you at? God is saying, where is my people? Where not only is my church, but where are the people that I love and the people that I care for? The people that I died for, the people that I bled for. That Jesus died for a lost and a dying world. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. And we see this in the scripture where again, God says this in verse number 9. He says, where art thou? Adam responded. Adam responded here in the scripture. And he said, I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. I have to say it like this, that there's too many people hiding themselves from God today. Hello? And I know here it was because of the guilt and the shame of their iniquity, their wickedness, their trespasses, their sins. We didn't even know it was called sins then, but they knew that they had been disobedient to God. Who is it that can stand before the Holy God? He that has a clean hands and a pure heart. People that don't want to get too close to God many times is simply because they don't have things in order in their life. That's why you can't hardly talk to your family. That's why you can't hardly talk to people on your job. You say, well, I can't talk to people on my job about Jesus. You might not be able to on your job, but you can live it in front of them. And they're going to know there's a difference. But he said, because I was naked. Everything's naked before God. God sees it all. God knows it all. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Hello. He sees it all and he knows it all. Here's my thing. If God's given us an invitation into his presence, why are we hiding? Why are we hiding? And my point of this is simply this. That God is saying, I don't want you to hide. Watch this. I don't want you to hide. I know what you've already done. I know you've sinned. I know you've trespassed. I know you've done wickedness. I know all that. But here's the thing I believe God is saying. But I still want to be your God. I still want to love you. God created man for relationship with man, for fellowship with man, to be with man. And I believe when Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 55 and verse number 6, and he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It's because God, again, when you think about this, as they offered up their excuses before God, it was their excuses that led them into their waywardness. Woo, I don't know about you, but I like that one. It is their excuses. Anytime people begin to make excuses while they're not coming to church or they don't want to be in church, if they at one time was in church, most of the time it's because of their waywardness. Two people can't live in the same house. Amen? The Bible says that no man can serve two masters. It's like the little boy said, I feel like there's two dogs living inside of me. You've heard this? Said, I feel like there's two dogs living inside of me. There's a black dog and there's a white dog. The man looked at the little boy and said, well, which dog's winning? You have a carnal nature. I have a carnal nature. You say, preacher, you're the pastor. Listen real close. Is this on? I have a carnal nature. You have a carnal nature. So which one's winning? The black dog or the white dog? You know what the answer is? Whichever one you're feeding the most. Whichever one you're feeding the most. You say, that's not applicable to me because I'm 85 years old or I'm 78 years old and I don't have any issues with sin no more. Bless your heart. All of us still have a nature on the inside of us. And either you're going to be pulling towards God or you're going to be pushing away from God. The church is going to do that. How many of you know churches have personalities? Churches have attitudes. People in the church have personalities. People in church have attitudes. What? We do. And if we're not really, really careful, the attitudes of carnality will come out. It's like I heard it said one time, if you're not healed from hurts and things like that, that sometimes you will continue to bleed where you've been cut, and you'll bleed on people that are innocent and people that had nothing to do with the situation. And I said all that to say this, that you and I as the leaders in the church, you and I as members of the church, we do either one or two things. We either set an atmosphere of God's presence so people can come into the presence of the Lord, or it's because of attitudes and actions and behavior that we push people away from God. Because you and I will be the only Bible that some people ever read. My life is a reflection of what's going on the inside of me. Hello? Do you hit a home run every day? Don't ask Sherry, please. No, I don't. It's like she and I heard Pastor Boland say one time. He said these words. He said, I will let you down and I will disappoint you. He said, and understand when I do that it's a mistake of my head and not my heart, because my heart's after him. Let our hearts be after him. God came down in the cool of the day and Adam and Eve was there. And then they said, what's going on? God says, what's up? And then Adam goes into this whole spiel thing of how that Eve and the serpent had beguiled Eve and Eve had given to him and his whole name, this whole blame game. Okay, let's just be real for a minute. Y'all ready to get real at Real Church on Wednesday night? Stop blaming somebody else for your own spiritual deficiency. Woo! Get after God with all of your heart. Quit blaming your wife. Quit blaming your Pekingese. Quit blaming your sheepdog. Quit blaming others. Look at your own heart and see if you're really going after God with everything that's within you. And you say, well, so-and-so don't like me, or so-and-so let me down, or so-and-so this, or so-and-so that. Is your name Adam? Man, I know it is. That's what it comes. But the reason I said that is because there'll always be excuses and reasons that you can blame other people for your own spiritual deficiency. But I'm simply saying this. If you want something from God, honey, go after it for yourself. You're going to have to go after it. You're going to have to go after it with everything within you. We live in a culture today where it's unpopular to be a Christian, but go after Him anyway. We live in a culture today where it's not popular to pray, but pray anyway. We live in a culture today that seems to be the political forces of today. Everything has to be so, quote unquote, politically correct. Years ago, we saw some of this stuff beginning to surface. And we used the terminology, and I didn't really like it then, and I certainly don't like it now, but sometimes the terminology was used, and I'm not saying this in an ugly way, quit being a cupcake. Quit being so touchy-feely that everything offends you, and go after God with everything within your heart. Hey, I live like this. If you're easily offended, I say it like this. If people look for reasons to be offended, that they'll find enough to be offended over. Are you with me tonight? And I said that to say this. There was a blame. Adam said it's Eve's fault. The woman said it's that snake's fault. And they all went into spiritual poverty. Okay, I got to wrap it up. I got to hurry. Here's the deal. The Bible begins to talk about this. He begins to talk about this. And I like this because sin deformed me, but the blood of Jesus reformed me. Are you with me? Sin deformed me, but the blood of Jesus reformed me. He says in verse number 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. What's the remedy? Verse 7 begins to talk about the remedy. He begins to say this, and he says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, He will abundantly pardon. I don't know about you, but there's an amen in my heart over that. Because he said, if you're going to get in my presence, here's the deal. Let the wicked man forsake his way. If we, Brother West, really want to get into God's presence, we've got to come clean with God. The Bible says Jesus hung everything on two laws. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your strength and all your soul and all your might. Number two, He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. But there's a thousand different things. But wicked, crookedness, that word is crookedness. Let the wicked man forsake his way. And I'm saying, God, if you and I this evening really want to get after you, if you and I really want to see the presence of God, oh God, search us and know our hearts tonight, God, and see if there be any wicked way. David prayed that same prayer. Turn on the microscope of heaven. God, turn on the microscope. And I don't know nothing about microscopes, but I'm telling you, they some powerful microscopes. I didn't do good in biology, but they put us on a microscope, and you can see things with a microscope that you can't see with the naked eye. Heaven turns on this microscope, and only you and God know about it. And God says, if you want to see my glory, if you want to see my glory, shed all the wicked ways. He tells us in this, he said, and let the unrighteous man get rid of his evil thoughts. How many of you know the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind? He said, bring in every thought into captivity. It's in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 10. We're not turning there. 1 Corinthians 10. He says, bring all of our thoughts into captivity. Don't let your mind go wild and just Think about all kinds of silly and crazy and demonic and ugly and nasty things. You get a hold of it, if you will, and you bring it into the subjection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know somebody that told me, and I'm not going into it, and I'm not naming names. I would never do that. Somebody told me the other day that they just had these thoughts, and they just started pleading the blood of Jesus. Friends, sometimes that's all you can do is plead the blood of Jesus. This is how you have revival right here. And he said, and let him return to the Lord. Three things in there. Forsake the wicked, the unrighteous man, his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. If there's ever been a day and an opportunity for us to come today, it's now. God is saying, let us come. Penny, if you can. If there's ever been a day and an hour, it's now. There's other scriptures that I can share with you, even ones here. The Bible reminds us in Matthew chapter 6 and 33, one verse of scripture says, if you look at that, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first. Not only the first thing of the morning, but he says, in everything you do, put God first. Let's see what God has to say about it. Let's inquire of the Lord first. Let's see how God looks at it. Well, I don't know how God looks at stuff. Hey, the Bible, that's the book for me. See what God says. God's word is God's will. You say, I wish I knew what God's will was. God's word is God's will. Look at his will. This is his will in the Testament right here. Look at it. And then hit the apply button at the bottom of the screen. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else. Jesus was talking about the lilies of the field, the food that you eat, the raiment, the clothing that you wear. Seek me first. Just seek me first. Jeremiah says that. Amos 5 and 4 says, seek me and you shall live. How many of you want to live? That's what he says. And then Jeremiah reminds us. This is one of those verses that I read very often. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 through 14. Verse 11 picks it up and he says this in the word. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Verse number 12 picks it up like this. And he says, then shall ye call upon me and shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. I love that. Call upon him. Seek him. Seek God. God will answer the next verse 13. My favorite verse, probably in all the Bible, one of. He says, and you shall seek me. Get after God. A church in revival has got to be a church that's seeking God. Not only individually, but corporately. You say, what is revival? Wish I had time to talk about it. It's a renewal. It's coming alive. It's a refreshing, if you will. It's God breathing on us again. And I dare say that everybody in this room would probably say, here I am, Lord, breathe on me. I said it Sunday, didn't I? But again, here's the invitation that God is saying to Jeremiah. He says, and you shall seek me and find me. Watch this. When you search for me with all of your heart, put your whole heart into it. Give Jesus your all. Give him all you got. Amen? You're in a race. It's not everyone that runs the race against the prize, but he that finishes the race. Stay in the race. God's got more right now for everybody in this room. Don't care how old you are, how long you've been serving God. God's got more for you. Again, when you begin to look at Jeremiah, this very last verse, verse 14 says this. He says, and I will be found of you. Oh my goodness. God says this in so many words. He says, I will find you. Is that not cool? Man and God playing hide and seek. He says in the word, he said, and I will be found of you. I will find you. If you'll seek me, I'll find you. You say, well, I don't know how to find Jesus. Hey, just call upon him. You don't have to come fancy. You don't have to come with elaborate words. If that was the case, I'd been out a long time ago, Brother West. Hello? God's looking on the heart. I'm not looking for the approval of man. I'm not looking for the applaud of man. Because, I mean, that'll only get you so far. I mean, yeah, come on. But he says here in the word, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. God says, I'll turn away your judgment. This is what he was telling the children of Israel. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whether I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away into captivity. In other words, God says, I'm going to visit you again. I'm going to gather all my people together. There's going to be a great day after a while. Amen. There's going to be a great day when we're all gathered together around the throne of God. A couple of more verses. Here it is. He says this again, that they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4:23. You know that. Psalm 63 says this, early will I seek thee. Proverbs 8:7 says, those that seek me early shall find me. And then in Psalm 69:32, your heart shall live that seek God. And then the last one is Proverbs 11:27. I love that one. Because this scripture, again, in Proverbs 11:27, it says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. He gains favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. In other words, you're either going to get two things. You're going to get closer to God, or you're going to be further away from God. Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He uses that word diligently, intense. Not only intense, but with intent and with purpose. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, my mind goes to this. I didn't study this, but I'll mention it really quick. It's in the book of Mark. I think it's in the book of Mark. There's a story there about the man at the pool of Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy, mercy place. 38 years, I think he's 38 years he had been there. Every time the water begins to stir, the scripture says, he that steppeth down in the water first is the one that gets a healing. This man, he was an impotent man, and he couldn't just jump up and get right down in the pool because he didn't have any strength. But as he's trying to get himself into that pool, another one cometh and another steppeth down. It's sort of like another one gets in front of him and then knocks his opportunity out. And then Jesus came by, and Jesus gave that parable or that example, and Jesus healed the man. Jesus brought healing to him. And I'm saying that to say this, that it took the presence of Jesus to come by that man's life in order for that man's life to be healed. A friend of mine, if there's anything in the church today that we need, is we need Jesus to come by our way that we might be healed. I dare say that everybody in this room would have something this evening to lay before the Lord, whether it's a healing, whether it's a need in your life, whatever the situation might be. And as you stand with me tonight, I'm not going to be long. I'm just simply saying this. What is it tonight that you would bring before God? What is it tonight that you would bring before God? Seek the Lord. Seek him while he may be found in our text, Isaiah 55:6. And it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. See, this is the message for tonight. There'll be another message Sunday and Sunday night, God willing. But what if God wanted to do something tonight in this service? And this is the opportunity for you right now on a Wednesday night. What is it that you would bring before God? You say, well, I've got a sick person. I've got a family member sick. I'm not really talking about them right now. I'm talking about you. What do you need God to do for you? What do you need God to do for you? What is it that you need God to do for you? You say, preacher, I've not really been where I need to be lately, and I really need a touch from heaven. I need God to really come and touch me and give me a spiritual touch. Well, that's fantastic. And I believe that God can do that. You might be here today and you might say, well, maybe my life just seemingly is gone astray, and at one time I walked with God, but right now I don't feel like I'm as close to God as I know I need to be. You can be tonight. You can be tonight. You can be tonight. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we love you tonight. Jesus, in your name, we call out upon your name. And Father, the invitation has been given, the opportunity has been given, Lord, to call out upon your name while you are near. And Father, as every head is bowed and every person is praying, whatever those needs are in the lives of individuals, man, woman, boys, and girls, I pray tonight, oh God, that even right now, that God, that you would hear the heart of every person in this room. And God, as they call out upon your name, that God, that you would come by their life tonight. Stop by their house. Stop by and visit them, Lord. Stop by and come by them this evening, God, and give them the touch that they need. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, you're in the room, and you'd say, Pastor Green, I know it's Wednesday night, but this message was for me. I've struggled, I've drifted, I've not really been where I need to be. But this is a reminder to me tonight that I can seek the Lord and God will hear me. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Anyone in the room? Anyone in the room? Anyone else? Tonight, with these hands that's been raised, we're just simply saying, Holy Spirit, as these folk have admitted before themselves, as they raise their hands for themselves, that God, that they need your touch. And God, that they admitted tonight, God, that they can, they have room in their heart for you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just touch every person that raised their hand. And Father, for the rest of us, I pray, God, that we will never forget your presence. And that God, this evening, Lord, as a reminder that we can seek you and we can find you when we search for you with all of our heart. And Father, we ask you to be with this congregation. Father, be with our prayer ambassadors as we're praying every day, as we're seeking your face. And God, I just pray for this neighborhood, this community, this city, that God, that we would be able to be a lighthouse, that we'd be able to be a help, a blessing to somebody, God, that needs a touch from you. And Father, we ask you this in Christ's name. And all the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Be in prayer. Look at the announcements that needs to be made. And